The New York Wage Board today formally endorsed a recommendation of a $15 minimum wage for fast food workers in the state. And the issue now heads to the state's Labor Commission to make a final decision. Governor Andrew Cuomo says he supports the proposal. Other cities, including Seattle and Los Angeles, have also moved towards raising their minimum wages for some or all workers to $15 an hour. And the issue now promises to be part of the 2016 presidential campaign. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders over the weekend in Louisiana called for the federal minimum wage to be more than doubled.
So let's be clear. The federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour is a starvation wage. It must be raised.
Joining us now to talk about the minimum wage and this push for a $15 minimum wage is Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
And what does it look like across the country? If you take a look at the map, is the minimum wage $15 just in a couple places and then mainly just at that $7.25, the federal wage? Or how do things look right now?
Sure. Let me set this up a bit. The context, I think, for this discussion is that the recovery has been adding jobs fairly steadily for the last few years. But we've really seen stagnating wage growth overall. And this follows decades of productivity outstripping wages. So you have a federal minimum wage of just $7.25, which is essentially the minimum wage of a lot of states. Basically, every state, if you sort of take a swath between Virginia down through Appalachia, through the Deep South. But the federal government's minimum wage doesn't apply to all workers because there's lots of states and lots of cities that set higher minimum wages. So just about every state on the West Coast and the Northeast, Florida, the minimum wage here is higher than the federal standard. So despite this context of slow wage growth and no action on the minimum wage at the federal level, we are seeing a local movement to raise the minimum wage, not only above where it is already on the coast, but in liberal cities right now, large cities, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and now very recently New York City, we have a movement to raise the minimum wage fairly dramatically to $15.
Well, and of course, in those cities, the cost of living is different than they are in other places. And I asked the Dunkin' Donuts CEO last week, Nigel Travis, about the debate in New York City, which you could say is the most expensive place to live in the country, or at least one of the most expensive places to live in the country. It's where a lot of Dunkin' Donuts stores are. And here's what he said.
The movement to $15 by 2018 is actually a more aggressive rate than has been campaigned by many of the people who want to move it to $15. So I think the increase was too much too quickly.
So just to be clear, when do you think it would be a good idea to have a $15 minimum? Do you think 2018 is too soon to make that change at a big company like Dunkin' Donuts?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is it varies by state. If you actually look at cost of living by state, it is different. You know, we're in Massachusetts, so Massachusetts is going to be different from, say, Alabama.
Right.
So to answer your question, I think you firstly look at it on a state-by-state basis. I'm not clever enough to say what it should be in New York, but given that most of the campaigning has been for $15 by 2020, it seems 2018 is certainly too soon.
Now, Derek, we've been talking about the minimum wage, but the other language that's been creeping into this is people starting to call it a living wage. And what is the difference between a living wage and a minimum wage of $15, let's say?
Well, a minimum wage is a matter of law, and a living wage right now is a matter of rhetoric. A living wage is one of those terms that does not have a specific definition, but the upshot is that it's not right for people to work 35, 40 hours a week and remain below the poverty line. Their wage should afford them certain living standards, the ability to live in local housing, to buy food, to afford health care, the modern essentials. That's what we talk about when we talk about a living wage. But to Nigel Travis, Travis's point. He's right. You know, in New York City, a $15 minimum wage by 2018, 2020 might be reasonable. But, you know, in New York City, in the metro area of New York, the median household income is $60,000. Mm. In El Paso, it's $30,000. Wow. So it's a huge difference. And if you're going to have, if you're going to argue for a federal minimum wage of $15 for every city, whether the median household income is $15,000 or $70,000 like it is in San Francisco, that's where I think you begin to come up to the point where you've gone past where a lot of very reasonable economists have said people need to be able to afford a life in the city that they live, to get to the point where you're really asking for a wage that might be beyond the capacity for businesses in that area to hire all the people that they want.
And when it comes to the politics, we've certainly heard people on the left say the wage needs to go up to $15 an hour. We heard Bernie Sanders there at the top saying people should have a living wage. But a lot of Republicans have been against moving the wage up and moving it up certainly to $15 an hour. But we heard yesterday the former Bush speechwriter Matthew Dowd was on ABC's This Week, and here's what he said.
The base of the Republican Party are working class whites, and any increase in the minimum wage is going to help that group. So if I were a Republican candidate for president, I would get out there and say, yes, of course we need a living wage. That's what capitalism is about, and that's what we need to do.
Okay, so that's Matthew Dowd. This is the candidate, Jeb Bush, former Republican governor of Florida. Here he is talking about this issue just a few months back.
We need to leave it to the private sector. I think state minimum wages are fine. The federal government shouldn't be doing this. This is one of those poll-driven deals. It polls well, I'm sure. I haven't looked at the polling, but I'm sure on the surface, without any conversation, without any digging into it, people say, yeah, everybody's wages should be up.
Derek, talk about the Republican Party on this issue, because clearly as this becomes more of an issue, candidates are going to have to decide where they stand on raising the wage.
You know, I think that on the one hand, this is a political issue. Obviously, Jeb Bush is running for president. He is interested in maintaining a conservative position on this issue, which is states' rights. Let's allow local communities to decide. But I also want to summarize what I think is a fairly complex and hard-fought economic debate about the minimum wage. So, and whether or not raising the minimum wage is good for workers. So, I think it's best to think of the minimum wage as a price for labor. And the way prices work in classical economics is the price goes up and demand goes down. So it's summer. Let's talk about lemonade. You know, you walk down the street, an adorable girl is selling lemonade for 10 cents. You prepare to give her that 10 cents. And by the time you fished out a dime from your pocket, she says, never mind, it's $2 per cup. And then you say no. Okay, you're willing to buy lemonade for 10 cents, but $2 is where you put away your wallet. So back to reality. There are jobs, some might say, where employers are willing to staff that job for $8 an hour, but not $15 an hour. That is where employers act like you did in front of that lemonade stand and put away the proverbial wallet. So there's this simple argument that says if we raise the minimum wage too high, it will remove a lot of lower paid jobs. On the other hand, I want to quickly say that the economy is obviously not just a bunch of lemonade stands. It's very complicated. And Walmart has found that by raising its wage, it's had less turnover. Less turnover means it doesn't have to spend as much time finding newer workers and burdening its health, its human resources department. So this is a case where raising the minimum wage actually proved to be beneficial to the company economically. So I think that it's not just political. It's not just people saying things for polls. There is a fierce economic debate, not just about the effect of the minimum wage, but where exactly is the point where it becomes disemploying, where it becomes too high for businesses to hire all the way to full employment.
And we'll leave aside the fact that I haven't seen a lemonade stand in years.
That as well.
I mean, maybe it's because I've been living in cities. They used to be everywhere, and now
You're living in these high-cost cities, right?
But I wouldn't spend $2, I don't think, for lemonade. That seems outrageous, really. Derek, I want to invite our listeners to weigh in on this. You can shoot us a tweet at Jeremy Hobson, at DKTHOMP on Twitter, and let us know what you think about a $15 an hour minimum wage. Does that make sense where you live? Should it be by locale? Should it just be $15 in some of the big expensive cities and not in some of the more rural areas of this country? Let us know. You can also go to hereandnow.org. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you.